So, we come now to the second meditation of this day, and we want to follow up with the mystery of the desert, Jesus in the desert. We said he went into the desert, first to be with God the Father, and secondly for fighting actually against the devil, temptations, and to give us the model, to give us a model of how to resist and to win over the devil and his temptations. You might have been a little bit worried, if I can say that, when I said that adoring things is adoring the devil. I know it's quite strong, but unfortunately I think this is the truth, because this is the temptation of Jesus in the desert. Behind material things there is always the father of lies, the one who tries to convince you that you don't need God. You can be the Lord of the world, having everything, but this is interesting to be considered. You can have everything, but there is a condition to be respected. You have to adore the devil. Yes? What does adoration mean? Adoration, it's a Latin word. That's why we have to know Latin very well, and to know the Latin Mass very well, because you know more Latin. Ad oratio, ad oration. Oratio is oration, is a prayer. But ad is a preposition, yes, coming towards something, to come closer to prayer. But oratio is another Latin word, which whose prefix is what? This more difficult. Ad oratio, os. Os are the lips in Latin.
Pray with the lips.
Yes, we can see, we can. But we have to know from the pagan world what they did with idols. Even the Romans and the pagans in general had this special worship. They adored the idols. How? By coming closer to them, even with the lips, in the sense of kissing them.
Yeah.
The kiss is the expression of love, yes? But adoration was, properly speaking, the way to fold your hands like this and to bring your hands closer to your lips.
Mm.
And to be like this before the statue, before the divinity, to pray like this, with the intention of folding all your life up, to bring it to the mouth, and with the mouth, with the lips, to just, in a sense, come closer to the divinity. This is adoration. So finally, adoration is to come closer to God with your lips, to wish to kiss him. When we adore, you see, if we do not adore God, we do the right same thing with something wrong. We come to adore, to kiss, just to have the idea, we come to kiss worldly things, but we can only kiss what we truly believe to be divine. If we miss God, we turn things into divinity. And then we adore something as we should do with God. That's why adoration is due to God only. Jesus, in answering the devil, said, "You must adore God and serve him." We cannot live without adoration. Adoration is the expression, the proper expression of our own being. Being a creature created, limited in relation with God, and to be a child of God. We are not only creatures, naturally speaking, we are made into children of God by baptism. That's why when we pray, we come closer and closer to Jesus to be able to kiss God. This is possible because Jesus himself made this possible, to come closer to God, the Father. We came to know God as the Father only through Christ. So the very first activity of adoration is carried out by who? By Christ himself. Christ makes this adoration possible with his humanity, offering up the greatest sacrifice of salvation, and this sacrifice in ascending, the sacrifice which is himself, when he offered himself up to God on the altar of the cross, he gave his own body as an offering made acceptable to God, and this offering is taken up into heaven by the Holy Spirit. And the offering of Christ is the way opening this adoration to everyone in spirit and truth. You remember this beautiful gospel, John, the lady, the Samaritan lady at the well of Jacob? Yes. The lady was trying to argue with our Lord because she had 5 husbands and then she got another one. But she was telling Jesus, "You people from Judea say that we have to go on Mount Zion to adore God in Jerusalem. We Samaritans say that we have to come up on this mountain, Gerizim, to adore God. But where should we go then? Where is God?" She was convinced, in any case, that a choice had to be made, either to go to Jerusalem or to go to Samaria on the Mount Gerizim. Where should we go then? To adore God. What Jesus said, "No, you have not to go neither there nor to Samaria. You have to adore God in spirit and truth, because God is spirit. Those who want to adore God have to do it in spirit and truth." What does it mean? To adore God in spirit means to adore God by being transformed into an offering pleasing God by the Holy Spirit. If you do not, if you yourself, ourselves, do not become spirit, we cannot adore God, because God is spirit. We have to adore God in spirit and truth. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit, yes? By whom adoration can raise up to God, as Jesus did when he was transformed by the Holy Spirit into an offering pleasing God. So you see, there is no possible adoration without offering up to God ourselves, by being transformed into a sacrifice of praise. Do you remember some Psalms speaking about this sacrifice of praise, the sacrifice of lips adoring God? We normally understand this sacrifice as a prayer to make, and that's it. I say a beautiful prayer, I'm very concentrated now, say beautiful Our Father, and this is my sacrifice of praise. I'm okay, and my dear God, see you tomorrow for another Our Father. Is this the sacrifice of praise? No, that's too little. Sacrifice of praise does not mean a simple prayer of worship, like this. That's it. No. A sacrifice of praise is a sacrifice praising God. So there are two different things to be put together. Sacrifice is one thing, and praise is another thing. We cannot put together the two things, saying a nice prayer and that's it. So we have to see first the sacrifice, yes, and then the praise. If we become a sacrifice, we praise God. So the sacrifice of praise is a sacrifice worshipping God. It's not a simple prayer, but it's a transformation of ourselves, of our own self, into a sacrifice adoring God. So briefly, Jesus did write this in his passion and death. He became a sacrifice, yes? He was, by his suffering, by his pain, by crying out so vehemently, he became what? An offering of salvation. On the altar of the cross, he offered up himself as an oblation pleasing God. Yes, he's our Lamb of God, the true Lamb of God. But in order to become an offering of salvation, what did he do? His passion was transforming Jesus into St. Paul says this, into a spirit-giving life. Jesus became a spirit-giving life. We get a new life in Christ. Why? Because of his sacrifice. Yes, he has become a spirit giving us life. By being transformed into an oblation, right? And this oblation is pleasing God, is worshipping God, is adoring, reaching God's lips, so to speak. Right? But this transformation is what? The action of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is transforming Jesus. Jesus is perfect. He did not need any transformation as we do. But Jesus, in order to save mankind, had to be himself transformed into a spirit giving life to everyone. So his oblation on the cross is the very climax of his oblation, was rendering Jesus a spirit giving life. You remember? You have to adore God in spirit and truth. Jesus was transformed by the Holy Spirit. There is a cardinal, an expert of the letter to the Hebrews, which is the main text in the New Testament speaking about Jesus' priesthood and sacrifice, who says, the Cardinal Vanois, is a French cardinal, says that during the Passion, the Holy Spirit was oxygenating Christ's blood in order to give to that blood the power to give us life. The blood of Christ can give us life because it was made a spirit giving life by the power of the Holy Spirit. The blood in the Bible is very important. The blood is the seat of life. Where the life of man is in the blood. But the blood of Christ is our salvation. Why? Because that blood was oxygenated by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave to Christ the power to, through his blood, to save us, to give us life. So he became a spirit, he became a sacrifice of adoration. So when Jesus is saying that we have to adore God in spirit and truth, he says that there is no possible adoration without being transformed into an oblation. An oblation oxygenated, so to speak, by the Holy Spirit. We have to be transformed by the Holy Spirit too, to become an oblation, a sacrifice of praise, adoring God. Spirit and truth. What is truth? Christ. I am the truth, the way and the life. So we can adore God only if we become in Christ an oblation transformed by the Holy Spirit. This is Christian life, to become a sacrifice of praise, of adoration. So you say, this is the adoration we have to look for, the adoration due to God, to be transformed. And if we are transformed into this oblation, while we adore God, we make possible the salvation of all other people around us. There is no salvation without the sacrifice of Christ. Yes? Do you agree with this? No salvation without the death of Christ on the cross. But that death is a sacrifice because it's a transformation of Christ, not only because Christ was crucified. Many other people have been crucified by the Romans, but they did not save mankind. Why? Because their death was not a sacrifice. The death of Christ is a sacrifice because Christ is God and offered himself up, and by the power of the Holy Spirit transformed his human nature into a life, into a spirit giving life to everybody. Christian life is this, to become a sacrifice in Christ, to adore God. Yes? To adore God with this sacrifice of praise. So sacrifice of praise again is not only a simple prayer that you say, this, that's it, I prayed today, I did my rosary, I'm okay. The prayer has to always accompany my transformation. So of course it's quite difficult to be transformed, to be changed, to be stripped of our own ego. Yes? I want to be myself. Today's society is always encouraging us. You have to be yourself. You have to be proud of yourself. Jesus is telling us we have to be stripped of our own ego to make him live in us. Yeah? I no longer live myself, but it is Christ who lives in me. Who is this?
Saint
Paul. Saint Paul was actually, by his life of discipleship, was transforming himself into the sacrifice of adoration, saving himself as Christ did mankind. How many people were touched by his preaching, by his letters, by his apostolate? Why? Because St. Paul was transformed into another Christ. And this is the adoration due to God. Now we come to understand what the Lenten season is requiring from us. We have to offer the sacrifice of adoration, but of course it is not easy. Yes? it's something demanding. It's a pathway we have to go through in order to be able to be little by little transformed into the sacrifice of adoration. How? By basically three things, and these are the works of Lent. First, prayer. Second, fast. And third, almsgiving. Almsgiving at the end. First, prayer. So let us be now concentrated on prayer. We already said something about prayer when I said that we have to be transformed into a sacrifice to adore God. You remember what Jesus did in order to enter properly his passion. When the passion starts?
It is
completed, but he's finished. This is the end, but the beginning. In the life of Christ, when the passion, when Christ begins to suffer the agony in the garden, yes. Of course, Christ is suffering even when he was a child. But the very beginning, we can say, the official beginning of his passion, immediate passion, the Paschal mystery, is the agony in the garden. In the garden, what does Jesus do?
Okay.
Jesus is crying. Jesus is even sweating blood because of his pain, because of his suffering. But it is in the garden that Jesus is praying so hard, to the point of crying out and to ask for not drinking that cup. Yes? So tremendous was that pain he had to take. So in that moment Jesus was saying the sins of everybody from the beginning to the end of the world. He had to take all this on his shoulders to be able to carry this cross to the Calvary. This, humanly speaking, this is impossible. And Jesus is true man, he's God, but he's now realizing the weight of this tremendous sin against God. He's called to take that cross. And of course he's saying, Father, if you wish, you can take this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done. Yes? Jesus is praying. This is the reason we have to pray. And Jesus is crying, and the letter to the Hebrews, while describing the priesthood of Christ, makes reference right to this grievous suffering of Christ in the garden, when the letter to the Hebrews speaks about the days of Jesus' flesh, literally speaking, during the days of his flesh, his mortal years and days, but literally it's the days of his flesh. That is the days when Jesus was suffering in his flesh. Jesus asked to be saved from that moment, but he was completely open to God's will. But you see, by that prayer was always sustained by the Holy Spirit. Yes? The Holy Spirit was giving him strength to pray, and by praying he was able to carry out that tremendous burden and passion and death in order to save us. So the prayer is what Jesus did in order to be ready to become a sacrifice of adoration of God. Without prayer, we cannot even begin that action, to take that action, because it's quite difficult. Suffering is always transforming us. But in order to be able to be transformed, we have to pray, as Jesus did. Prayer is this, we can say, prayer is the strength we have to be with God, with the Father, in order to be guided through this even sorrowful pathway, but to be transformed finally into a sacrifice, life-giving sacrifice. So Jesus is praying, and in the desert, of course, when the devil is approaching him, Jesus is praying too. So prayer is always the first attitude of the soul, of a Christian, to be able to deal with all these difficulties in life. But what is prayer properly? We should read the Gospel of St. Matthew to know more about prayer. The chapter 6 of St. Matthew's Gospel. But thou, when thou shalt pray, enter into thy room, and having shut the door, pray to thy Father in secret. And thy Father, who seeth in secret, will repay thee. This is the first passage. To pray in the secret. Is Jesus praying before everyone in the garden? No, he took only 3 apostles. You remember the 3 apostles? Peter, James, and John. But unfortunately, they were sleeping. Jesus was praying, suffering, and the apostles were falling asleep. They could not even watch 1 hour with him. That's our weakness as well, yes? So Jesus is is praying, but he's alone, actually, in prayer. And this is the reason he says, we have to imitate him when we pray. Just in order to find this intimacy with God. So the question is, when we pray, what we do?
Go to your secret room.
When we pray, do we speak much? As pagans do. Because they think that the more they speak, the easier they are heard by God. Is it about words, prayer?
No.
Jesus in the garden is saying very few words. But you see, there is the whole being in that prayer. Jesus is completely in that prayer with his own self. So prayer is not about words, also about words, but first of all, prayer is an attitude of our soul. Our presence before God, to be in the presence of God. So the definition of prayer is what? Prayer is the way we lift our minds and hearts up to God. This is prayer. Yes? We are not heard because we say beautiful things. We are heard when we are with God, when we are in His presence. And I think this is very important for us to pray properly, because we run the risk sometimes of saying many prayers, but Father, I was always distracted, and myself as well. I find myself distracted at times. Where is my mind? I'm praying, say the breviary, but my mind is there, is there, back to Italy, come back to England, and over there. And then I was praying the Psalms. But prayer is actually this attitude, this the way to be before the mystery of God. So I think if we try to see prayer not as a way to say many things, but a way to be in the presence of God, this changes all our prayer. Even if we get distracted at times, of course, unwillingly, it does not affect much our prayer, because it is quite normal sometimes to be distracted. There are like mosquitoes flying around, and they want to distract us. But if we see prayer as a way to be in God's presence, and if we try, since the beginning, to be in God's presence, we are able to make our prayer